Today is giving. So for those of you who, I hope you've been giving to your mum today. And there might be some people that think, I wish I had the chance to be a mum. Well, the good news is, as believers, we all called to be spiritual mothers and fathers. So we have the opportunity to do a lot of fishing and become a big mum, a big dad in the kingdom of God. But anyway, yes, the subject this morning is giving. And you know that Jesus talked to his disciples. And when he talked to his disciples, he talked to them and he said, when you give, when you fast, when you pray. So the three things that the Lord spoke to the disciples a lot about was fasting and praying and giving. And we've done quite a bit of teaching and preaching on fasting and on praying, but actually we've not really preached a lot about giving. So that is what I'm going to do this morning. The instructions for Jesus about giving were particular about a heart attitude, while in the Old Testament it was more about the law. Giving can be quite a sensitive issue. Actually, it can even be quite controversial. And so I've been thinking about that. Why is it so controversial? Why does it become such a sensitive issue? So I will be honest with you. I believe there has been abuse, and I believe there's been manipulation related to giving. And that is not scriptural. That is just not the right spirit. Actually, God tells us very clearly in the Word about any kind of manipulating, about trying to control other people through manipulation, intimidation, or domination. The Scripture tells us the root of that is witchcraft. Very strong words. The Lord is because it's against the character of God, because the Lord is a loving God. A loving God. God so loved. If you know nothing else in the Bible, I hope you know that God so loved the world that he gave. So giving is all to do with love. And therefore, manipulation has no place in the kingdom of God. Now, there are many different cultures, and this is important for us to understand. We are a blessed church with many different cultures and nationalities, just like in the kingdom of God. And that is a blessing. And we must appreciate that we all come from different cultures that have different styles of making other people aware of needs and sharing needs. And that is okay. But let's not go into any manipulation, but sharing a need needs to be done in a way which is appropriate for that culture. Even inside of Europe, there are different cultures. I'm originally from Denmark, and in Denmark in church, when you have your tea and your coffee, there will be a little plate there, and everybody will put their pound equivalent in there for their tea and coffee. And everybody believes that to be a fair way to pay for those coffee beans. It is just the way things are done. While here in Life Center, we tend not to do that. Just, it doesn't say one is right and one is wrong, but different cultures. Now, many of you will probably have heard Christian TV from America with a big emphasis and big long preaches about giving. You need to understand also that in the American culture, they think different from Europeans. I have worked myself for more than 30 years in American organizations and companies, and I understand that they think differently. And so we must appreciate and understand different cultures. But today we're going to focus on what the Word of God says, because the most important culture is the kingdom culture. The kingdom culture. And the kingdom culture is that God so loved that he gave. This is what giving is all based on. It's based on love. It's in the very heart of who God is. Romans 5:8, we can put that up. God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is unconditional. The love of God, he gave even before he knew whether he would get any response. His love is without limit. A human brain can hardly comprehend that kind of love because we've never experienced such an unconditional love. That is just who God is. And my favorite parables of all the parables that Jesus spoke about is the parable of the lost son. You'll be familiar with the man who had two sons, and the youngest one says, give my inheritance, and he goes off. And he wastes all of his inheritance until when he is at his lowest, he decides to come back. But that parable tells us the father was standing there every day waiting for the son. And when that lost son comes back, remember, he had already spent all his inheritance. He was still welcome back in. This just abundance. This speaks of the abundance in the kingdom of God, that there's always more. God gives again. And the older brothers, he just can't deal with this. He says, this isn't fair. There's never been any fuss over me. I want you to point out to what the father said to him. Luke 15:31. The father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. So God is saying to you, if you are a child of God, God says, all I have is yours. This is the Father's heart. All I have is yours. And so as we are followers of Jesus, and we are following the way of the Word of God, God is looking for us to be imitators of him, to have that heart of love that wants to pour out for others, be able to be imitators of God. This is what our nature is to be transformed, to be imitators of God. A couple of years back, Melvin and I were privileged to get a trip to the Holy Land, to Israel. And we went with a group, and there was a couple that were leading it. And his name was Bill Partington, and he and his wife have been many years leading UCB radio. And he actually wrote an article about give while you live. And I've been reading that over the last couple of weeks, and it really ministered to me. Because he points out about the biblical principle in the Bible about giving while you're living, rather than waiting and putting something in your will, which is great. You know, you can do that, of course. But that all through the Bible, we get this principle of giving while we are living. And some of you think, oh, but I don't have anything. But that could change. You might have nothing today, but that could change. Because it's in God's nature to bless his people. How do you think this big revival is coming? How do you think that's going to be funded? It's going to be funded through the people of God, and it's going to be funded with the goodness of God. So have an expectation of the blessings of God in your life. Why? Because it's in God's nature. Let's go back to the very beginning, Genesis 1:27-28. This is the very beginning. This is before the fall. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. The very, 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 very first thing that God did after creating the human race was he blessed them. He blessed them. It's in God's nature. He wants to bless. Isn't that lovely? He blessed them. And even before he gives them to tell them to be fruitful and multiply and what to do, before anything else, he blessed them. That's what he wants to do for us. He wants to bless us. The very first thing. Even in New Testament, it says, Colossians 1:16, there's that one phrase that says, all things were created through him and for him. All things were created through him and for him. So everything that we have, our possessions, our wealth, our money, our abilities, everything we have in this life, God has given to us. God has given it to us. And actually, it belongs to God. And we are only here for a period of time, and He's like loaned and entrusted us with certain things. For the whole of our life, He's entrusted us with things. And He's looking for us, how we are managing that. If we seek to control everything exclusively just for our own needs, you can look at it like we are stealing from God, because He's expecting us as His children to follow His example and to live according to His desires. Because everything that you have, everything I have, belongs to the Lord. Haggai 2:8. The Lord says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And we have this all through the scripture. Let's look at the Old Testament first. In the Old Testament, there's this concept about birthright. I'm sure you'll be familiar with it. And this is described in the scripture in the Old Testament even before the law of Moses came into being. And there was a special thing about the firstborn male in the family. Yes, ladies, I'm sorry. Male, not female. This is why, ladies, in the kingdom of God, we are also called into sonship. And God uses the word son about us ladies as well, because in the kingdom of God, we have that spiritual blessing that in the Old Testament is described for the firstborn son. So we don't lose out. This is not any different from the men. You men are called the bride of Christ. So this, I was just thinking this morning, that would really mess up the hate bill crime, wouldn't it? Messing all this up. Because it's a spiritual thing, you see. It's a spiritual thing. But in the Old Testament, there's this birthright. So the firstborn male would be consecrated to the Lord. He would get a double portion of the inheritance. He would have preeminence and dignity and power, and in taking over the authority after the father. And he had a right into the priesthood, which was considered a real privilege, providing that he was fit for the priesthood, being without spot and defect and blemish. That is how it was very early on. And then when the law of Moses came along, then God himself instituted laws that would safeguard the rights of the firstborn. And this was also a way that God made Israel to be different from the other nations, that it would protect the identity of God's elect people. So God gave clear commandments about the chain of inheritance. And we won't go into it, but you can read it yourself in Numbers 27 and 36, chapters 27 and chapters 36. You can read all about it. Basically, an inheritance was to be passed to the children. If there was no firstborn son, it would be given to the daughters. And if there was no offspring, it would still remain within the family, the clan, whatever, the tribe, it would remain. And this is how the people of God were brought up to do. So this was the birthright. Now you will remember the story about, I'm sure you've heard about Esau and Jacob, because Esau, he despised his birthright. At a moment of weakness, remember, he sold it all away for a bowl of stew. He allowed something very temporal and short-lived to give away what was meant for him and his children and his children's children and their children and their children. He gave away, and what he gave away had consequences for many generations. Uh-oh, this is a really serious point, isn't it? This is a really serious point for us, which are spiritual children of God now. This is also an example for us. But the good news there is that God has put a law in that protects the inheritance. So a person, we can't lose our spiritual inheritance. It cannot be stolen from us. It cannot be taken away. But let's watch out. Because as with Esau, a person can sell it or give it up. And we don't want to do that. Let's just look at the promise of God for us, so powerful. John 10, 28 and 29, Jesus saying, I have given them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. God is so good. God is so good. Even our sin, he's taken care of. You'll be familiar with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, we see in the Old Testament, and we see the parallel in the New Testament, how in the spiritual realm, we have this birthright because of what Jesus has done for us. Like in the Old Testament, it was really, God was very serious about people's land and their property, and it was a disgrace to go and mess with other people's property and inheritance. And God wanted that to go on into the family so that the inheritance would stay. So in summary, in the Old Testament, we see that everything comes from God as a gift to us, and everything is created by him and maintained by him, but he's kind of loaning it to us for our temporary use. And his desire is that his people will prosper. He blesses us. We are blessed to be a blessing. We've got great friends that have a ministry in Goa in India, and every time we visit them, they always say this. Everybody says it there. I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I think that is a beautiful summary of the heart of God, because he blesses us with the purpose so that we can be a blessing and you have this ripple effect. Now, in the Old Testament, there's these laws that were particular for, obviously, for the Jewish nation, but there's some of the things that are still principles to us and that we benefit from today. The blessing of Abraham is one of them. We are blessed, and by faith, we are now also daughters and sons of Abraham. About inheritance, so in the Old Testament, we see how inheritance is to one's offsprings, as it were, but it even goes beyond that. In Proverbs 13:22, it says, it's got this one liner, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Isn't that lovely? So yes, you take care of your children in your will or whatever you give to your children, but you also leave an inheritance for your grandchildren. How beautiful is that? That a child grows up and says, hey, this is what I got from my grandfather, my grandmother, or whatever. I think that is so beautiful. Now, one of the ways in Scripture, throughout Scripture, we read about giving is through what's called tithing. Particularly written about in the Old Testament. It is a way of giving while you're still alive. Tithing means one-tenth, basically 10%, 10%. This practice goes back, way, way back to Abraham. The first mention of it in the Bible was when Abraham gave tithes to the priest called Melchizedek. And it was a freewill offering that Abraham gave, a tenth of the spoils from the war, from the battle, and he decided he was going to give that to Melchizedek, the priest. It doesn't say in Scripture that God commanded him to do it, but when you read it, you really see it was Abraham's heart. It was Abraham's heart that this is what he wanted to do. And this was before it was written into the law of Moses. And then we read the same thing about Jacob. He continued the practice. He said that if God would be with him, feed him and clothe him and return him peacefully to his father's house, then God would be his God and he would give back a free will offering, a tenth of whatever God gave him. And again, there is no suggestion in that passage that he did it all because God says, I must do it. No, he did it from his heart. And I think that is beautiful, that the first time that we hear about tithe, that these people, they did it because of the love that they had. They were reflecting the Father's heart. Then when Moses came, he instituted the tithe and he told the people, and it became the law of God, that they would give a tenth of their land and their herd and their flock. The Israelites were told, Numbers 18, they were told, 18:23-24, they will receive no inheritance amongst the Israelites. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithe that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. So the Israelites were told here to give 10% to the Levites. The Levites were those that were that provided all their spiritual service, were serving in the temple. So the people were told for their maintenance, since that was became their full-time work, the other people were to give 10% towards that. And then in chapter 18:26-32, we read about the Levites themselves would take 10% of what they got and give it to the priest for their wages. And then we have in Deuteronomy, we read about the Lord's feast and sacrifices. And it says Deuteronomy 14:22-26, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. So you see there's this principle that they would take the first 10% of the harvest and that would be put aside for the Lord. And then the last thing they have is there was also a provision for people that just had no inheritance or had very little. Deuteronomy 14:28-29, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, and the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. There's always a blessing of God that comes along with it. But here we see how beautiful it is that the Lord has made provision for the people, especially in those days. They didn't have any social security as we have today. And so the Lord said, you know, you've got to make provision for people that don't have, because this is the heart of God. Now, if we come to the New Testament, there's not a lot of teaching and talk about tithing as such. However, there's an interesting scripture I think we should read from Matthew 23:23. I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? Hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the most important aspect of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Here we have Jesus saying to them, yes, you should tithe, but he's bringing out all about the heart. Because they were tithing. I'm just picturing them sitting there with their herd and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, counting up 10 goes there and the other 90 I get to keep. And they're sitting there and they're being so careful from the herd gardens, but they're missing all the big picture, which is all to do with our heart attitude. You know, because Jesus said that when you give, don't let, you know, what your right hand does, your left hand doesn't know about, meaning that God blesses us so that when we see, it should just be a natural thing for us to give and to help. That's why God blesses us, so that we can be a blessing. If I don't have any bread in my house and my neighbor doesn't have any, I can't help. But God's blessed me. I can say, don't just take one loaf. Why don't you take two? And you've got for the next so many days. We want to be able to bless, and Jesus is talking about this attitude. So tithing is still, as you can see in that one scripture, but Jesus is talking about a heart attitude, a heart attitude. Romans 13:7 also gives us instructions about how to live, and I'm reading again from New Living. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honour to those who are in authority. So scripture doesn't, not like the ads you may see on TV, that encourage you to spend on credit. Scripture doesn't encourage us to do that. Obviously, when we purchase a house for our family, when we have to have a place to live, you know, we most likely have to have a mortgage. But scripture doesn't encourage us just to buy without the ability, because here the Lord's saying, you've got to pay what you owe. You've got to pay your taxes. You've got to be a good citizen and pay what they are due. So the reason for the tithes overall in scripture is for the support of the Levites, representing those that work in full-time ministry, the priests, those that serve the Lord in that way. So also so there's money for strangers and orphans and widows, people in need. We give financial and practical and material support to those that minister spiritually. We also have scriptures for that in 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. And this time I'm reading from the Amplified Version, because I think it brings it out super clear. The elders who perform their leadership duties well are to be considered worthy of double honor, bracket financial support, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching, bracket the word of God concerning eternal salvation through Christ. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain to keep it from eating. And the worker is worthy of his wages. He deserves fair compensation. Another scripture is Galatians 6:6. The one who is taught the word of God is to share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his spiritual and material support. Some people may ask, okay, the scripture tells us about tithing. Where do I pay my tithes? The best example I can give you there is, here in Livingston we've got several restaurants. And one of the ones that's not far from the church is called Tony Macaroni's. It's an Italian one, a lot of us like, but at the moment of course it's closed. Now if I go to Tony Macaroni to eat, I don't then cross the road to McDonald's and pay my bill. So you pay for your food where you eat, in the natural. And so it is in the kingdom of God that in Malachi we get this. He's instructing us to bring the tithe into the storehouse so that there should be meat in God's house, spiritual meat in the house. So a storehouse is the place where we get fed. So here you have the Bible teaching us that this is a biblical principle to keep the work of God going. This is what the Lord has put in scripture for us, and this is how we do it. And in addition to that, we've got we do gifts and we do offering, you know, as we are led by the Spirit. As we are led. And a very, very important scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:7. This is just so lovely. This is what the Lord says. This is real New Testament teaching. So let each one give as he or she purposes in her heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. She says, purpose in your heart. What are you going to give? What do you feel led by the Lord to give? To help? To contribute? Because this should become a lifestyle. This should become a lifestyle that our hearts are transformed. I remember early on in my Christian days when I read it, I thought, ooh, I don't think I'm a cheerful giver. I'd be like, hard to give. I mean, if we're really honest, I believe most of us have been through that, because all of us have experienced in our life at some point of not having enough. I mean, this is just the reality of the world that we live in, and most of us have had that kind of experience, and that very often made us be very careful with our money and holding things for ourselves and being careful, what to give. But as we experience the Lord and we experience His love, it changes the way that we think, and it changes the way that the whole outlook on life. Then we realize that everything I have is His. And so it's a pleasure to give, and it's a pleasure to bless, because He's blessed us. And so we are flow through. We are flow through. And it just comes, and it's such a blessing. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go and give and calculate and say, if I put a pound in, God's going to now give me 10 pounds. That is the wrong thinking. That is the wrong... Yes, God will bless me. God has blessed me. God has blessed us because we have adhered to His word. And the way He's blessed us is with wisdom, with peace, and with love, and with joy, and with... He is just so good. He blesses us in all different ways. I'm telling you, the peace of God, you cannot put a price tag on that. And He also blesses us financially. But our focus is on the kingdom of God. And His blessing is much richer than only material things. And the way that He rewards us is just so amazing. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So when our heart is in the right place and we're seeking His kingdom, He gives us everything that's needed. This is His promise. It's lovely because it takes the burden off our shoulders, as if we are responsible to make the kingdom work. No, it's His church. The ecclesia is His church. It's His responsibility. Well, we just each do the part that He tells us to do. And then it's His responsibility. And He says He will meet our need. And He does. We can testify to that. We can testify to that as individuals and as a church. Just so lovely. And this is a great testimony to the unbeliever. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. If you love one another. 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter which is often called the love chapter, but in the old translation in English, it doesn't use the word love. It uses the word charity. Charity. This is who God is. It's in the very nature of God. Just to rest in His love and allow Him to work through us, flow through. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And the last scripture I want to share with you, this is very powerful as well, Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that you may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It is God that gives us the ability to create wealth, to get resources, so that we can accomplish His covenant, His purposes, and His plans. This is His promise, that He will do that. He will give us the power. He works through us. So we don't sit around and wait and think, okay, when is this going to come? No, He gives us the ability. He gives us the strategy. It is a partnership with the Lord. He partners with us. He will drop into your head. He will give you the business ideas. He will give you the instructions step by step. And he will bless you as you follow his instructions. You will be blessed. We are all blessed. And so together we will have the resources to bring in the kingdom of God. I'm excited what God is doing. I'm excited what God has planned for the foreseeable future of bringing in souls, that we will be able to have more and more people working in the kingdom of God, working in the kingdom in business and working in the kingdom as evangelists, the fivefold ministries. It's beautiful. This is the will of God. I trust that these words have encouraged your heart this morning to follow the instructions of the Lord as the Holy Spirit leads you, and he will surely bless you. Let us just pray together. Father God, we thank you that you're so good. And Father, even from the very beginning, you blessed us. And you have blessed us all of our lives. Father, we acknowledge that everything we have because you've given to us. So today, Father, we want to say that we love you back. And Father, we want to be obedient to your word. And we just pray your blessing on every heart, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you bless every person listening to this message, that they will experience incremental blessings in their lives. In the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.